I'm going to say welcome also, even though I'm not from Park Fest. I've been associated with Park Fest for just about 100 years. The priest is only 70. No, but I can remember years ago, this was older. Cody's older. I'm from Cascades Church down on 22nd Valley Road, and it's a pleasure to be here and to share God's holy words. I take it with a lot of trembling and fear when I speak. You might say, well, what? How long have you been preaching? 60 years I've been preaching. 79 different countries. 3 different languages. But I'm perspiring right now and I'm nervous. Because what I'm going to be doing is talking to you on behalf of the God Almighty. He has given me a message. And I'm responsible to transmit that message to you. And I always say to the church when I speak, if there's anything I say that's wrong, I do not mind people butting in when I'm speaking. We've got a very interesting passage. I hope you listened to last week. I did. I listened on online. I was thinking in Spanish because we speak Spanish together. And I'm really Spanish. He's from Chile. I'm from Argentina. Not originally, but that's where we're from. Anyway, today we've got a passage from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you'd like to turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, last week we had 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And there's some really neat things going on in this chapter. And I trust that we'll be able to enjoy it together. The title of my sermon this morning is Stand Firm in Troublesome Times. These are troublesome times. Not so much here in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, North America, but I have traveled so many different countries. You can take Ukraine, I've been there a few times, and look, they're in war with Russia. I've been to Russia, they're in war too. I mean, they're in war too. The war's all over the place. I don't know how many wars and little wars all through Africa and other Asian countries. There's war, there's trouble sometimes. And there's trouble sometimes here too, in some ways. Our governments are having problems, and let's face it. And I'm not here to give a political speech. I'm going to be here talking about what the Bible says about these things. So in the second letter, this morning, Paul encourages the church, and you the church. Park Fest is a building. That's not the church. You are the church. So when this letter was written to the church, it's written to you and me, not to a building. And my goal this morning is to encourage you to stand firm in these troublesome times. All the thing of the trade wars and problems with this, problems with that, and I listen to this president and that president, and it's a lot of problems out there. We're sitting back nice and cool in here with that fan going on here, and it's nice here, and not too much noise, just some of the talking troops, a lot of problems, but it's a wonderful place. But out there on the streets, people are free. People are free. So, my idea, I'm going to encourage you to be faithful. Faithful. Faithful to the Word of God. And if you're faithful to the Word of God, you're going to not have so many troubles. It's not going to be perfect, of course. But it'll help you. It'll encourage you. It'll build you up in your faith. Then I'm going to also talk about the whole idea of hopeful. I've got hope, but not hope as the world talks about hope. See, I hope that the Canucks will lose when they play against Montreal Canadiens. Did I lose half audience? You didn't understand what I mean. Okay, I'll try another. I hope that Messi and Argentina wins the cup over Brazil. Still don't hear anybody. But we don't know. We're not for sure. But I hope in the Lord, and that's a surety. The hope in the Bible is a different word, a different meaning. So I'm praying that you'll have more hopeful in these troublesome times as we go through this message. I hope you'll have more confidence, not in me, not in the church, but in the Word of God. But also, you can have confidence in this church. There are elders and deacons, and there's committees here, and they're here to help you. They want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why they're here. Confidence. I hope that you'll have confidence. Confident. Fearless. We can go into this world fearless. We can. I like speaking in Latin America because I get more excited. I can jump up and down and scream and yell, thud, and I don't get trouble. So here I'm trying to be confident, but I'm fearless. I stand on the corners of the sky trains here and I yell light. And I'll say, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. And people will tell me where to go, how to get there, the quickest way possible. And I tell them, I ain't going to hell. I'm going to heaven because what Jesus did, I'm fearless in that sense. God is in control, and that's what we're going to see. So let's look at the passage. Follow along in your Bible, if it's French, English, Spanish, Mandarin, Chinese, Filipino, Korean, whatever language is your language, follow along. And if you didn't bring a Bible, you can follow along. I'm using the New Living Translation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 1, I'm going to try to read it the way it's written. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brother, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or spoken word or a letter sending to you from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. What was happening? They were saying that the day of the Lord had come. These false prophets, they were prophesying that the day of the Lord had come. Even today, we have the same thing. In 2000, anybody said God, the Lord was going to come, change from 1999 to 2000. Everybody, it was everyone, all the whole. It's not true. We don't know. It's just like Paul is saying here to the Thessalonians, don't get upset. It hasn't come. Let no one deceive you in any way. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way. For that day will not come unless the rebellion come first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every good so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I still was with you, I told you these things? So we have to have confidence in the Word of God, in the Bible. This is the most important. People say, are you really that excited about the Word of God? I gave out, firstly, I'm not bragging, 250,000 in Quebec. Prisons, hotels, motels. We went there as missionaries in 1967, and I think it was in 1963 Vatican II came about, and Jean-Paul Vantois gave the Catholic people the right to read the Bible. Hallelujah. And we got them right there in 1967. So we went to the hotels, and we put the Gideon Bible in the motels, in the prisons, in the schools. We had so much fun. We got truckloads of Bible from Toronto at the time. Now it's in Guelph, but it was in Toronto. It's come down in 20 years, in Quebec, and they give me those Bibles. I put them in a trailer, and I went on Volkswagen Bible, and I walked 7 up to set the old cathedral, all around, sometimes 17, 18, 19 hours driving and giving out these Bibles. It was exciting because this is what is true. I can't get enough of it. They call me a fanatic. Well, if you call me a fanatic, I don't mind. I'm a fanatic of the Word of God. When I was in high school, can you imagine a teenager in high school, I had on top of my books the biggest, blackest King James Bible you have ever seen in your life. I thought that was a way to win, signing up with that childish figure. But now, it was sizable. And they call me this, that, the other thing. I won't mention here because I won't be invited again. But they call me preacher. They call me pastor. They call me reverend. They gave me all the names you could think of because I believe it. And if you don't have a good Bible, there are Bibles here for you. Mm-hmm. And there's New Testaments for you. And we've got to read them and study them. So here they are in Thessalonians having a problem because people said that Jesus had already come. And he hadn't come. Let's continue. So my title is Stand Firm in Troublesome Times. And the first point, I'm going to have 3 points. If you've got your camera, most of your phone, I say take it out and take a picture of the outline. Recognizing the rebellion and stand firm. There's 3 points today's sermon. You can follow along, and if you're taking notes, take notes. If you're not, take a picture. That's what I always do. I rip out the camera, I take a picture, click, and I go home and I look at it and make sure the preacher was right. Are we on the same page? Good. Okay, let's go. Beware of deception. Deception. So much deception today. Now, I'm concerning the coming of Christ, there's so much deception also. People are saying he's come. People are saying he's going to be coming next month, next week. Whenever there's a crisis, he said, because of the war in Russia and Israel. But we mustn't be deceived. We sang this song, and it was really nicely sung. Thank you very much, those who are leading in worship. Let's read what Matthew says about the coming of the Lord. We're going to see what Matthew said. He was a tax collector. And then we're going to talk about Mark, what he said about it. Okay? So you can trust this. This is straight from the Word of God. Follow along in your Bibles. Or, even better, follow along on your phones. Or, even better, follow along in your iPads. Here we go. But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows. No one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as we were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them away. So with the coming of the Son of Man, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be disaster. Then two men will be on the field. One will be taken, the other left behind. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other one left behind. But know this, that if the master of the household had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. What are you saying here? Exactly, be ready. Are you ready? I'm ready. Why am I ready? Because I'm a good guy? Because I give blood to the Red Cross? Because I help old lady talk long? I guess I'm a old man now, so I can't use that example. When I was younger, I used to say, help the old lady across the street. Now people have to help me across the street. But anyway, I understand where I'm going. Are you ready? You've got to be ready. Study. Study the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. I just bought a new app, thanks to Andrew. I got a new app. And I'm going to use that app to study Revelations. And it's fantastic. I was looking at it in between meetings. It's fantastic. But you have to be careful. You can't be deceived. There's a lot of things on the internet that are masculine or more or less. You've got to be careful. And if you have questions, come and ask Andrew. Come and ask Ian. Come and ask our brother. God has blessed us. We have the New King James Version. We have the King James Version. We have the New International Bible. We have the there's so many good translations from the original Greek. I don't like, I'm not going to recommend paraphrases. I'm not going to recommend other like the Messenger and things like that. But there's so many really good ones. And if you have trouble, I can read them, as you can see. I apologize for the poor reading. I listen to it. I listen to it on my iPhone. I listen to it on my iPhone. Didn't mistake what's the word for it. And I listen to it. Or I listen to it on my iPad. Or I listen to it on my computer. I listen to this passage over and over in 3 or 4 different translations before I come to speak this morning. I listen to it in French. I listen to it in Spanish. We are so blessed with so many different ways of getting the Bible into our beings. Let's look at what Mark said. Mark said, but concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard. Keep aware. Keep alert. Keep alert. Watch out for this false doctor. I mean, they're not friends, but I know people who stand on the corner with giving out literature and that, because I do the same thing in Skype things, but they don't know Jesus as Lord. Jesus is another one of many gods. Islam is up there now giving out tracts. Jehovah's Witnesses are giving out tracts. Mormons are giving out tracts. And what are we doing? None. We should be giving in. There's tracts in the back there. There's books in the back. There's daily bread in the back there. Grab one. Give it out today. Be on the guard. Keep aware. But you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves the home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay alert. Therefore, stay awake. Stay awake. You do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening or in the midnight, or when the rooster crows or in the morning. Lest he comes suddenly and finds you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all. Stay alert. And I say the same thing to you people here to myself. I've got to stay alert. See, before I go here, I want to know if it's God's will. Before I do that, I want to know if it's God's will. And many times I goof. Many times I make mistakes. Many times I go ahead of God, or I stay behind, or I go to the left, I go to the right. But isn't it wonderful that if we confess our sin, he is faithful, just to forgive us our sin, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm here today enjoying the fellowship. Because many, many, most of you here that I know personally, first name basis, know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I didn't have one of my brothers dress me right this morning. The big guy. Yeah. He said I was poorly dressed. But my wife went off to church before me. She was leading worship. So I didn't put my collar right. Like, thank you, brother. Okay. Are we aware? We are living in times of confusion. I mean, are you confused? I am. We're living in times of, I mean, it's just unreal. I mean, I look at my phone here, and I look at ChatGPT. I look at All Chat. I look at this. I look at Perplexity. I look at, there's so much out there. There's so much information. But there's a lot of information that is false. And we've got to be aware of that. There's so much false information out there. As I read a sermon, I gave app on my phone, which is so great. It's just a little thing right here. For instance, if I have that up, and then it'll go like this. Well, you can't hear it because it's going in my ear. But you understand what I'm saying? It's so important to be aware and to be awake. And the Bible study, there's a Bible study downstairs. I sat out there and I prayed for you today. I don't know how many went there, who was there, but I knew there was people downstairs studying the Bible. I was sitting out there with my message, preaching it. Nobody got saved out there, though. I mean, people walked by and they thought they'd get a drunk or something. I was just going over my message. I wanted to get this message across God's way. So let's work together as a church, as a family, as a community, as a hospital, together so that we will be aware and that we will be ready. In Paul's day, the church in Thessalonica was shaken by false teaching about the return of Christ. Some were saying that Christ came, some had come, and they were confused, totally confused. And there's many churches today that are confused. Beware of deception. Are you with me? That's the first point. I've still got 11 minutes, so I won't go over time. And remember, we can ask each other. We can call each other out. I'm speaking next week at a church, and I'm in Revelation, and there's a certain thing in Revelation that I'm learning, and I filled up one of the elders of the church, and I said to him, I said, what does the church think about this? And it was exactly the way I thought, so I'm going to speak on it. Anyway, let's not be deceitful. Deceit is one of Satan's oldest strategies. If we can't twist the truth, he can shake your confidence, discourage you, and distract you from living for Christ. You say you're saved, you say you're born again, you say you're a family, part of the family of God, but Satan will say, but look what you thought of the other day. You thought that. You can't be a Christian. You thought that. And he puts doubts in our minds. Doubts in our minds. Now we've got to say the other way. Wait a minute. Get out of here. I mean, the first sin in the mind, the first sin. Look at Eve in the garden. Genesis 3:1-6, Satan deceived Eve by questioning God's word. Did God actually say this? The fall of humanity began with deception, and that's what's happening today, even in the church. And I'm not judging anybody, I'm just saying what the Bible says. Churches are being deceived. And look what it says, false teaching of God. Paul warned them, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let them be accused. Deceit. Deception comes from many forms today. False doctrine. Cultural preaching. Oh, it's all right. It's all right because in that culture, you can do that. You can have three, four, whatever. Don't worry about that, that's an exaggeration, but you're with me? Or in that culture, it's okay. I mean, we were missionaries in Tibet for 13 years, and they did a lot of things that we weren't used to. We were 20 years in Argentina, and they did things we didn't do. So culture comes into it. Distorted versions of the gospel. How do we guard against it? By saturating our minds and hearts with scripture, by being part of a Bible believing church like this one, and by walking closer to the Lord. I get together every Tuesday morning with a fellow of my own age, 2 years older than me. I'm never going to get that. But anyway, we get together and we sort of go back and forth. How did it go last week? And find somebody your own sex, your own age, and get together once a week on a biblical basis and take a verse, pick something like you do downstairs. That's awesome. Anyway, recognizing the rebellion. Second point. Who opposes and exalts himself again, even the so-called God, for objects of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God? Do you not remember what I was still with you? When I was still with you, I told you these things. And these are things. And you know verse 6. Look at verse 6, chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians 6. And you know what is restraining him. And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in this time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now resists, it will be so until he is out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the mouth of his, with the breath of his mouth, and bring to coming by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawlessness one is by the activity of Satan, and with all power and false signs and wonders. Notice the signs and wonders, the false ones, devil, and with all wicked deceit, deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. Therefore, God sent them a strong delusion so that they believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned through do not believe the truth, and pleasure is unrighteousness. We have the truth. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4 to 6. We won't read that now, but you can go over it. But this is so important. Paul is approving himself. Paul asserted that he and his companions were entrusted with the gospel and by men, not by men. And they spoke the truth to God's approval messengers, not by people's pleasures. If I don't preach the Bible, don't invite me. I grew it. I go to Cascade Gospel Church. And, you know, with the modernization of time, they changed the name. Like Willington Mennonite Church, they changed the name. And Cascades Gospel Chapel changed the name to Cascades Church. I was a fireman for 2 weeks. Every Tom, Dick, every Paul, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Why? You're taking the gospel out of the Cascades. No, it's a name. We're in the Cascades area. And we're a church. People understand that. But we have to be careful. If they took the gospel out of the Cascades, I'd probably come over here. Because that's probably the cool question. Huh? So we preach Christ and Christ crucified. And we don't preach ourselves. I use personal examples because I'm hoping that will help you understand. But I'm not preaching myself. I'm preaching the word of God. My motives are pure. And the motives of Paul and Barnabas and Saul, they all were pure. Their ministry was not motivated by deceit, impurities, or trickery. Paul and his team worked tirelessly, even during the hardship of oppression, to share the gospel with them. And the messages you hear at Parkrest are pure because it's the word of God. Over and over, I quoted scripture, and this is recorded. If you want to check it out, I hope you will check it out on the internet on Monday and look at it. Just okay. They took care of the sheep. Paul and his group took care of the sheep. They treated the Thessalonians with tenderness and care of a nursing mother or a father. They loved him. They took care of him. And that's what the elders of this church, the deacons, that's what the members of this church. If you're not a member of the church, check it out. It's worth it. It's a community that you can work together, pray together, and do things together. And they take care of one another, standing firm. Standing firm in the truth. That's what we want. People to stand firm in the truth. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruit to be saved through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. As you believe, Jesus said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we're all sinners. When you know the verse, I like these better than that, is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm not going to talk about election, but it'll be a very interesting subject for your Bible study downstairs. It's for many are called, but few are chosen. But God has chosen. Why are you here today? If you do not know Jesus, you're here today to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. And if you've been coming here all these years, praise God, you've come to hear the gospel so that you can share the gospel in different ways to the people in your neighborhood, in your complex, in your women's club, men's club. God chooses and calls. Jesus is there with his heart wide open this morning, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You want peace? You'll never have peace unless you have God in your life, because God is the God of peace. I have peace that passes all understanding, and I go through a lot of difficult things, but God is there with me. God chose me. God called me. Stand firm and hold fast. That's what he wants. It's important. Encouragement and strengthening. That's why I'm here. And I hope that you have been encouraged. We're going to call our worship leader, and he's got a song for us. Good. And then I'll close the word of prayer. Encouragement and strength.
So we just stand and we'll sing one last song in close. I was thinking just about the songs we started with, and you know, my eyes were failing me and I couldn't really see the music and I couldn't really see what was going on. But I was reading about how I was reading a verse came to mind about from 1 Samuel where they were looking at picking a new king, and God was telling Samuel, or was so yeah, they were saying man was in the outward appearance, but God was the heart, and I just thinking how grateful that God isn't listening to me singing. He's not listening to you singing. He's listening to our hearts, and he's hearing the worship coming from our hearts. And so we just want to praise God for that this morning. So let's just say that. Okay. I have God.
Yeah.